As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
I want to welcome all of those joining us from Naperville, Wheaton, Bolingbrook, North Aurora, Monmouth, and online, as we are one church in five physical locations. It's great to speak to all of you at the same time as we begin 2021. I'm on the Illinois Prayer Path. It's a path that I run on frequently and bike on. I'll explain more of that in a moment. As I think back on 2020 and this virus, it was certainly a year that interrupted our rhythms, as the rhythms we were used to at home, school, work, even church, started beating quieter and quieter. And the rhythms that we were not used to started beating louder and louder. It's almost as if we started this year with the familiar smooth jazz of Kenny G and finished the year by banging our heads to the heavy metal of Black Sabbath. The rhythms of life, they can be described as familiar patterns, routines, or movements. They're often dictated by the seasons, the periods, or the cycles that we live in. And rhythms, in themselves, they can bring familiarity, comfort, and calmness. But that's the exact opposite of what happened in 2020 as everything got retuned. And if we're honest, things may never sound the same again. So how can we establish some helpful, happy, and healthy rhythms as we start 2021 for our emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being? That's what this series is all about. It's entitled Rhythms of the Soul. It's from the book of Psalms. We'll be studying a psalm each week through Easter. There'll be 15 in total when you count Good Friday. Now the Psalms, they're a collection of songs that soothe the inner being. You can think of them like old hymns that the people of God would recite and sing together. There's 150 of them total. The book can be broken into five sections. As you read through them, you can't help but feel the realness and the rawness of the writers as they reveal their deepest thoughts and fears. They've been a place to turn for countless numbers of Christians over the centuries to retune their inner being and refresh their souls. And that's my hope for us in this new year. Sound like a good plan? We hope so. As our campus pastors and I, along with the rest of our staff, are praying that this new study will ignite revival in each of us as we start this new year off. So open your Bibles to Psalm 1 as we begin this new series. As you're turning there with a paper Bible or tapping on your phone or tablet, think to yourself for a moment, what do all these people have in common? Yoda, Gandalf, Professor Dumbledore, Mr. Miyagi, Morpheus, or Mickey Goldmill? Well, first off, they're all fictional characters, I realize that, but they represent some of Hollywood's most legendary sages, and they provided wisdom and training as mentors to the likes of Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter, Daniel LaRusso, Neo, and Rocky himself. So my question is this, how can we become more like them in real life? How can we grow in wisdom and knowledge so that we can play a part in defeating the Cobra Kais and the Agent Smiths of this world so that the Force can be with us? That's what Psalm 1 is all about. It's about growing in true wisdom and knowledge so we can become spiritual sages. And as we walk through the first six verses together, I want to identify some signs that will guide us down the path of true spiritual wisdom. That's why I'm on this path today. It's a visual reminder that all of us are on a journey. And this journey, it's like a road to be followed. And we all need to pay attention to the signs so none of us veers off and gets lost. Let me begin by reading the passage and introducing a few of the signs. Then I'm going to hand off the baton to each of our campus pastors as they will continue with some application that's tailored specifically to each of their locations. Pastor John Hinger, he'll be speaking to our audience at High Point at Home. Psalm 1 says this in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The first sign to follow on the pathway to wisdom for 2021, guard your heart and mind unashamedly. That's the warning in verse 1, as we need to be careful who we're taking counsel from. As it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. When it says blessed, there are two Hebrew words for this in the Hebrew language. One means to be filled with potential. That's what's meant in Genesis when it says that God blessed creation to be fruitful and multiply. The other, which is the one used here in this passage, it carries the idea of blessed destiny as it looks to the future blessings of God as you live your life for Him. It has the idea of advancing you or propelling you into God's favor. That's what Jesus was referring to in the Beatitudes when He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the use of the metaphors, walk, stand, and sit, they're all linked together. Walk, it has to do with the direction and relationship. It reveals where you're headed and with who. While stand, it has to do with attitudes and beliefs. It unveils where your attention or your affections and sympathies lie. And sit, it has to do with your identity. As the place you sat in Jewish culture, it revealed where you belonged. So the mixture of these metaphors reveals some things about each one of us. Where we're heading as we walk, what we value as we stand, and how we see ourselves as we sit. In his book, The Paradox of Choice, the author Barry Swartz, he describes going into a retail outlet to buy a pair of jeans. He writes, I tend to wear my jeans until they're falling apart, so it's been quite a while since my last purchase. Then a nice young woman, salesperson, walked up to me and asked if she could help. He said, I want to buy a pair of jeans, you know, 32-30. And she asked, do you want them slim fit, easy fit, relaxed fit, baggy, or extra baggy? Do you want them stonewashed, acid washed, or distressed? Do you want them button fly or zipper fly? Do you want them faded or regular? He was stunned. A moment or two later, he blurted out something like, I just want regular jeans, you know, the kind that used to be the only kind. It turned out she didn't know. He goes on to note the following in the grocery store. There's 85 kinds of crackers, 285 types of cookies, all bad for you, 65 box drinks for kids, 150 lipsticks, 29 kinds of chicken soup, 275 cereals to choose from. We could add in all kinds of other choices, everything from cars to college, from degree plans to diets. Therefore, he concludes this for us as we are all on a journey. The fact that some choice is good doesn't necessarily mean that more choice is better. It's true. We are all faced with many, many, many different choices today. But the psalmist, he doesn't position our paths in this way. He limits our choices. He doesn't offer a baker's dozen or a bundle. He only offers two choices, the path of wisdom or the path of foolishness, the path of righteousness or the path of wickedness, the path of holiness or the path of ungodliness. Which will you choose in this new year? That's revealed in the second sign to follow on the path of wisdom for 2021. Feed your soul and spirit unceasingly. Check out verse 2 as it keeps us moving down the choice path. It says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let's examine these two phrases. First, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. By law of the Lord, he is referring specifically to the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. For them, that was all they had. But for us, today, we have the entire Old Testament and the New Testament. What he's saying is this, our delight is not in our own good behavior or the behavior of others. Our delight is not in what we think is best or what others think is best. Or how about this? Our delight is not in what our culture condones or what our culture condemns or even what our culture cancels, but rather, our delight is in the Word of God, the infallible and inerrant Word, the reliable and relevant Word, the sufficient and sustaining Word. That's why the new parents of a baby in California, they've forbidden their parents to help change the baby's diapers. Why? so that the baby's grandparents won't know if it's a boy or a girl. That way the baby can pick their own gender for themselves when they get a little older and not be influenced by the grandparents. I wish that story wasn't true, but it is. Next, we see the phrase, and on his law, we will meditate day and night. The Hebrew word for meditate literally means to mumble to yourself. So we as Christians are called to mumble the gospel over and over to ourselves until it's fully digested in every area of our lives. Think of it this way. It's a bit unsettling, especially if you've just eaten breakfast. It's like how a cow chews its cud. Cows eat grass, then they rest. Then they can bring the chewed grass up again to chew it over and over. And then they repeat the process again and again. That means this morning's breakfast is this afternoon's lunch, and possibly even tonight's dinner. Sorry if I'm making your stomach turn, mine is too. But that's what it means to truly meditate on God's word. See, meditation is not just a quick read of the Bible as you head out the door in the morning. It's a constant reflection all day long so that it permeates your attitude and actions, your character and conduct. Let's turn over to Psalm 19 for a moment as it lifts the many benefits of a person meditating on God's word, and it's one of my favorites. The psalmist writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, and much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Now let's look at the third sign to follow on the path of wisdom for 2021. Grow in resourcefulness and usefulness undeniably. By undeniably, I mean so that all can see. That's the picture that's painted in verse 3, as the man or woman of God is compared to a tree planted by streams of water. And then when it says yields its fruit in its season, yield is a continuous action, as that's what God wants to do in you. Produce fruit that feeds others. Think of it this way. The deeper the root, the greater the fruit. Meaning, if you want to become a sequoia of spiritual wisdom, you need to heed sign number 2 and feed your soul and your spirit unceasingly. See, according to this first psalm, the goal isn't that we would just live productive lives by producing fruit for others to feed on. That's the result. The goal is that we would get into God's word and God's word would ignite God's spirit in each of us so that we would become a sequoia of spiritual wisdom and maturity that grows strong and stands tall, producing much fruit for others to feed on, as the deeper the root, the greater the fruit. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I want to introduce you to some sequoias in our church, some people who are growing in spiritual maturity and wisdom so that they can be more useful and resourceful for God and His kingdom. I want you to catch a glimpse of their journey on the path of wisdom so you can continue yours.
There was a drug deal. I end up killing somebody.
8th grade, I got sick. The headache never left.
My whole life revolved around drugs every day.
When we first got married, we started going through some hard stuff, like anybody does.
Once we got married, I had still been practicing the sin of pornography. I was flirting with a neighbor.
Being in Iraq, it was very tough. I saw a lot of friends, you know, get killed. There's just a lot of trauma, you know, in my mind, in my heart, my emotions were completely messed up.
The pain kept on getting worse. I started passing out.
But I was starting to realize my life was falling apart.
The neighbor, thankfully, did not entertain it. You know, all of a sudden, these secretive parts of me that I didn't like was now completely exposed.
I was laying on my hospital bed, and that is where God began to convict me.
Guilt started to build up from the lying, the cheating, and stealing every day.
Some of the leader couples that were involved here, they started meeting with us and counseling us.
I was literally clinging to God, and it was a totally new way of life for me, and I loved it.
There was a verse that came to my mind, to my heart, where it talks about the grace of God is sufficient for me. For his power is made perfect in my weaknesses, all of my weaknesses.
I was given like a life verse, and it's trust in the Lord.
I just knew that Jesus was the only one that could make a difference in my life.
May 1st of 1973, and I said, Lord, I am so lost. Can you help me? I could be a child of God. I could know God's will for my life by studying the Bible.
The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Reading the Bible and being a part of the church and being fed every weekend, I know that the Lord is trustworthy.
He came to save people just like me, that people thought that would never be anything.
When Yink and I first moved from Arizona, the first thing we wanted to do was find good, intimate fellowship.
There's one thing to be converted, but there's another thing of being discipled.
The Christian walk is a walk of community, and the enemy is counting on people in their pride saying, I can do this by myself.
Everybody wants to be on a mountaintop. Where's the grass greener, on the mountaintop or in the valley? It's in the valley where the nutrients are. It's in the valley where it's where I'm molding you. It's in the valleys where I'm building your character.
We still have issues, but we're encouraged to not have to deal with life on our own in isolation. I will have challenges, I will have trials, but I do it in community with other people.
Serving here is a blessing in so many ways, but I do it because of the people I serve with. The heart of this church is people.
When you know that God wants you to do something, you have to go forward and do it. And there's really no holding back. I want to be a person, we want to be people that lead out and do that. We want to care for people. We want to have fellowship. We want to bring community.
How powerful would it be for us as a community of believers when all these things are going on with race, pandemics, and politics, if we can get back to the message of the cross?
46 years later, it's just been great to be able to come alongside people and say, Jesus loves you, he's got a plan for your life, and be able to see their lives change like God changed my life.
Man, wasn't that encouraging? I think that deserves some hand claps or maybe some praise hands in the comments. Let me share the last two signs to follow on the path of wisdom for 2021. Sign number 4 is this: deepen your faith and your convictions unwaveringly. That's exactly what the people that we just heard from are doing, and we need to do the same. Why? Notice the picture that's in verse 4. It says this: the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Remember, the psalmist laid out two choices, the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. So if you choose to not follow these road signs that we're talking about, you are making a choice. And when you make that choice, he describes that you are like chaff. Now, unless you're a farmer or you grew up on a farm, you don't really know what chaff is. But chaff is what's separated and discarded from the husks of grain during threshing. It's useless. It's worthless. It's thrown away. That's the picture that David is painting. And what a contrast that is from what he talked about with the righteous. The righteous are like a tree, and the wicked are like chaff. One is useful and produces fruit, and the other is useless and serves no purpose. It's a picture of stability and instability. And in order to be stable, we have to deepen our faith and we have to deepen our convictions. Hear my heart for a moment, please. As your pastor, one of my concerns as we grow in wisdom and maturity is that we would understand the difference between biblical convictions and personal preferences. See, biblical convictions come from God's word, and a personal preference usually comes from my personal experience or my own perspective. And then the problem comes when you think that your personal preference is actually a biblical conviction, because then you end up beating people over the head with your personal preference. John 1:14 says that Jesus was full of grace and truth, not just truth and not just grace, but always full of grace and always full of truth. So deepen your faith and your convictions by being rooted in the word. Make sure the locomotive of the train of your life, what's leading the train? Is it biblical convictions or is it your personal preferences? But also we need to show and have a biblical conviction of graciousness with others who maybe have a different personal preference. And our last sign, it's the common denominator of all wisdom. Sign number 5, live with an eternal perspective unapologetically. This is a sign that's essential for not veering off the path, because if you don't, you begin to end up living just for the right here, and you live for the right now. And you might get away with it on this side of eternity, but there is a day where we will make account for what we've done. That's what it says in verse 5. Let's take a look. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So those who do not follow the way of wisdom, they're going to perish. The wicked will perish. Live with an eternal perspective in mind. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and what the end goal is. Because one of the things I ask myself a number of times is, in the aspect of eternity, is what I'm doing helping or hindering? In the aspect of eternity, is what I'm choosing right now the path of righteousness or the path of the wicked? Let's review the 5 signs to follow on the pathway to wisdom for 2021. Even just thinking about living with an eternal perspective, I want to say how grateful I am for Pastor Ron's leadership and his teaching. He and his wife Jody have been leading this church faithfully for over 20 years. They've been helping keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his word. And really, that's incredible. In a day and an age when pastors and ministry leaders have been failing and falling, I'm thankful that we have a model. I have a model for my own life. Are they perfect? No, no one is. And that what I love is that they would be the first ones to admit it. They live out what a transparent faith is and how to be continually dependent on the grace of God. So these are the signs that we need to follow so that we don't veer off the path of righteousness. Now I want to identify a few mile markers to make sure that you're moving along the path. If you've ever been running on a path or wherever it might be, they have markers that show you the distance that you've covered. I've heard this is a thing, and I can't be for sure since when I run, it's only for short distances. But the goal is this, it's to not stay stagnant. We don't want to stay still on this path of righteousness. We have the signs so that we don't veer off. We have the information, but are we moving forward? Are we growing in maturity? As the online campus pastor, I have this unique opportunity to speak to many of you who are connected to one of our physical High Point locations. But also I get to speak to those of you who only experience High Point at home. And as we look at these mile markers, if you call High Point home and attend one of our locations, I want you to filter through these mile markers in regard to your location. And those of you who are online, we're going to talk about what it looks like to live these things out as a community online. So the first mile marker is this, it's feed yourself spiritually. It means we're committed to God's word and we're committed to applying it in our lives. And this begins on the weekends when we gather together for services, whether that's in person or it's online. And that's what we're about as a church. We want to lift up the name of Jesus in worship. We want to get into God's word, which actually then makes us better worshipers of the King of Kings. But it's not only going to church. Feeding yourself spiritually is what happens in the day-to-day and in the moment-by-moment. It's by being in prayer. It's by being in the word. It's living a life of worship. Worship isn't something we attend. It's something we engage in on a continual basis. This is what we talked about last week, abiding continually in Jesus in 2021. We're going to make our home in him. And we want to help you as this year kicks off to feed yourself spiritually. And that's why we've kind of curated a list of Bible reading plans. And you can head to the High Point app and you'll see right on the main page some Bible reading plans that you can do on your own. You can do it with your family or you can do it with your group. There's one that's a 90 days in the Psalms. That's a great place to start. And I think it would be a really cool complement to the series that we're going through. Or you can go through the New Testament in a year. Or you can go through the whole Bible in a year. But the question is really, how will you feed yourself spiritually in 2021? Mile marker number 2 is engage in genuine community. The Christian life is not meant to be done alone. I know a lot of 2020 was in separation and in isolation, but that doesn't mean that you can't connect with others. See, I've been leading a D group, which is our digital group, through the fall, and we I've been following the growth guide each week. And the growth guide is just something that complements what was taught on the weekend and how do we apply this in our daily lives. I maybe knew one or two of the people who were in the group at the beginning, but now we have text groups and we're checking in on one another. We're praying for each other. I've been so encouraged and blessed by this group. And you know what's crazy? We haven't seen each other in person once. So you can connect with people, even though we may be separated by distance. Growth groups are the primary place for discipleship and care here at High Point. And we want to help you grow in your faith so that you can be known, that you can be cared for, and that you can be loved. That's what it looks like here at High Point. All our groups are starting up here in January, and whether it's in person or it's hybrid or maybe digital and physical, or maybe it's just completely digital. The question is, are you doing this life alone? Have you been discipled? Are you helping to disciple others? Maybe you need to be cared for. Maybe you need care for others. I want to encourage you. Join a group. And we have a resource that's called Group Finder on our website, and it's in the app. You can go to highpoint.church/groupfinder, and you can see all the opportunities to get you into a group. Mile marker number three is this: serve sacrificially. Jesus modeled it. It says in scripture that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Therefore, since we call ourselves Christians, we need to do the same. I'm so thankful for the High Point at Home host team. They've been such a joy to work with. If you're watching on our online platform, this team has been praying with people. They're greeting. They're posting the message notes, helping people figure out what next steps they need. They're incredible. Some of which, actually, they've never even stepped foot in one of our buildings. So, yes, you can serve digitally as a part of High Point at Home. Couple opportunities even for you to jump in. You can be somebody that is praying for others. You can be helping to host a part of the team. Maybe you're into the production of what's going on. How do we make this whole thing happen? There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but you can be a part of helping serve in that kind of way. Or you could help lead one of our digital groups. We want to connect people to God and connect people to others through High Point at Home. Two more mile markers on the road to wisdom. We want to be making forward progress in this. Share your faith boldly. We model this as a church. It's Jesus' two-pronged strategy of care and share. We see it throughout the Gospels. And we see this in our care centers as we meet a physical need, but then we want to also meet the spiritual need. And we're modeling this even as a church. And the question, though, is what do each of us need to do individually? Most people lean one way or the other. They care more than share, or we share more than care. Or maybe both of them are just not really very high at all. Know yourself. Which way do you lean? And make sure that 2021 is a year of balance. We need both of those. How can we care? How can we share? Think about your sphere of influence. Who's around you that you can be showing and sharing and caring for them? Last mile marker is this: on the road to wisdom, to give back generously. And we are so grateful for the generosity of this church. Throughout the month of December, we had the one initiative, our year-end generosity initiative, and you responded. We don't have all the numbers yet. We're tallying all those things up, but hundreds of families engaged. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were raised. And all of this was to allow us to step into the opportunities that God is providing for us. But one thing I want to say is that it's not just, giving back generously isn't just a year-end initiative. It's a all the time. How are we giving back of our time, our talents, and our treasures in the day-to-day, in the moment-to-moment? So as we look at these, as we're moving these mile markers and moving forward on this path of righteousness, it's not just one of them or a couple of them that we put together. We want to see all of them overlaid and each one to be a part of our lives. We want to live in the convergence of all of them in the center. This is what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about it for my own life. I want to live like this. I'm passionate about it for your life. And there's a verse that sort of encapsulates all of this in Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. Let me read it to you. It says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." That's the goal. This is what mature in Christ looks like when I'm living in each of these areas, in each of these categories. That's what's moving us down the path. We're not staying stagnant. We're not staying still. But how do I do this? Look at verse 29. It says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy." With God's power, not my own. We struggle with God's energy that he works powerfully within me. In order to do this, it's God at work. And I believe that when we begin to move down these mile markers, it's going to ignite a personal revival in each of us in 2021. It's going to present each of us complete in Christ. And it takes wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We recognize that we can't do these things on our own. But Lord, we don't want to stay still. We don't want to stay stagnant. We want to be moving forward. So we want to lean on you. We want to rely on your power, your energy working within us as we move on the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.